problems and issues related to development. This led then the ANC with occupying two seats and the third seat being occupied by the IFP. Subsequent to this, the ANC wrote Section 43(3) of the Structures Act, which complies with 160 of the Constitution, where they offered the one seat out of their two to the NFP, therefore resulting in the EXCO constituted by one ANC instead of two, one NFP, which is the seat of the ANC, and one IFP, as per their agreement. Now, there has been a number of problems related to really governance and councillors not being able to agree almost on a number of major decisions that they need to take as the council. The decision regarding the size of EXCO did not find favor with the IFP, which then brought an agent application in Peter Maritzburg Court under that case number, and then declaring that the aforementioned decision was unconstitutional and was invalid. The matter, having been instituted in 2011, has not been finalized as yet. It's one of those outstanding issues in court. However, they have been operating in that three in their ex-court. In November last year, the IFP submitted a motion to remove the ex-court and electing the new ex-court and the elections of the mayor as well as the deputy mayor. The motion was due to be held on November, and on receipt of the motion, the mayor, together with other councillors, brought an agent application in court to interdict the motion, and an interim order was obtained preventing the table of such motion, directing the speaker to postpone that motion. That was 2012. And on the 18th of 2013, the judgment was delivered where the judge discharged the interim order. As a result of the order, the IFP PR councillor resigning, Councillor Ngubane replaced that councillor and was declared as such by the IEC. When he attempted to resume his position as a councillor, the council did not accept his membership. Of course, there's a long-standing feud between Councillor Ngubane and other councillors in this municipality, since he was the mayor of this municipality before, and there were a lot of inter and intra-political issues amongst them. Now, at the council meeting that was held in March, where the mayor was tabling his budget, councillors of the other parties, that IFP, DA, and NFP, stayed the walk up. That they required, they still required to consult on the budget, their political parties, and they needed to have further meetings. And then they requested that the meeting be held in June, where the mayor again was then to table the budget. And by this time, we were worried because we were running out of time in terms of the deadline for municipality by which they would have to pass their budget. A further meeting was then called in June 2013, where the COPTI officials were in attendance at the request of the mayor. At the meeting that was held on the 12th, the mayor announced that he was resigning because the council was not able to can decide on major decisions, but also, and that was impacting badly on the service delivery of the communities. The IFP accepted his resignation, and at this stage, the councillors of the IFP, DA, NFP walked out, leaving the meeting in courage. And at the meeting, officials were informed that a notice of motion to remove the mayor and other two members of the executive council was received and signed by councillors, and that the council meeting at which the motion was to be considered was the meeting of the 21 of June. Now, again, on this meeting of the 21 of June, there were nominations that were done by councillors, and the councillors nominated were Councillor Mabunda, who was the mayor that stepped down, and Mapanga, and the IEC nominated Councillor Maharaj, and from the DA, they nominated Bart and Baba from the NFP. Ballot papers were prepared with the names of the nominees, and the vote took place by secret ballot, but none of the ANC councillors cast the vote because Section 43.2, as I indicated before, does already calculate the number of seats. You don't necessarily need to vote because political parties must submit their names, and the council must then agree on those names as per the calculation on the strength of the of each political party. The elections took place for the position of the mayor, and Councillor Kaba was elected as the mayor, and Councillors Maharaj and Mapanga were nominated. The speaker determined that as Maharaj was not a member of EXCO, he could not then be nominated or could not then be elected as a deputy mayor, and Mapanga was not declared to be elected as deputy mayor because of the commotion that was happening. Subsequent to that, Councillor Kaba approached the High Court to obtain an order that was declaring that Councillor Mabundla, who had been nominated by the ANC to be the member of EXCO, is not a member of EXCO. And also in that court's order, he wanted Councillor Mapanga to be declared as a deputy mayor of the municipality. Or he was also saying the Councillor Mapanga, who is the deputy mayor of the municipality, was unlawful, and that this election that took place was being interdicted. Again, councillors put forward notices of motion to the speaker, and certain councillors objected to that, and they raised point of orders. It was a very rowdy meeting, the one that was held on the 5th of July, which led to a considerable chaos, resulting in the police being called in to restore order. The motion of no confidence was never seconded, the one that was placed for the speaker. The department, which was also present at this council meeting, where the speaker had adjourned the meeting, but because the speaker adjourned the meeting when other people still wanted to nominate, they then said, well, we continue with the meeting even if the speaker is adjourned. And the meeting was presided over by the municipal manager. The matter of the vote for the speaker, the matter was not put to the vote, and he simply stated that the motion had been passed and that the speaker had been removed. He also called for a verbal nomination for the position of the speaker, and Councillor Yengwa was verbally proposed as a speaker and seconded, and he was then declared. This, remembering that this is the meeting that we're saying had already been adjourned, but other people stayed behind and then they continued with elections. We have received, subsequent to that, a number of letters from the municipal manager indicating that the situation was very bad in the municipality. There were people who were coming with big automatic guns and all sort of things. At some stage he requested that we allow them to close the municipality, but we advised against the closing of the municipality because we felt that communities still need access to government. rather we requested that the police increase protection, and we had a stability unit that had to be deployed in the municipality to stay there until the situation has come to normality. Indeed, the situation has not been normal because the matter was then taken to court, as I said, by Councillor Kaba, but we then joined in because we felt that the court was being asked to do something that was wrong and that was done illegally by the municipality. Unfortunately, when the matter went to court, there were a lot of arguments, including the arguments where the judge that was presiding was said to the other parties, say the judge must be removed because he would be biased to the matter as he had dealt with the matter before. So when the judge then accused himself, the matter then fell apart because there was then no judge to preside over the matter. And the matter was then adjourned without the 10 days. But what we want to indicate is that the Provincial Executive Council decided to intervene. We requested that there needs to be an intervention in terms of the constitution because we're in a situation where there are two speakers now in the municipality. We're in a situation where there are members who call themselves ex-co members who were elected in an illegal meeting. And they are chasing stuff away and bringing new people and saying those people are now employed in the municipality. Municipal manager being forced to sign illegal things. And we felt that there is a need for the Executive Council to intervene so as to at least ensure that there are no illegal things that are taking place in that municipality. As we indicated that, unfortunately, there has never been a stability in the municipality since 2011. And until such time that, first of all, we get to correct the issue of which is the executive committee that is legal and who's the speaker that is legal, there is no governance at all in that municipality. And therefore, the reason for us to request the Executive Council that we intervene so that at least we could keep a brief or a watching brief on what is going on in the municipality to avoid any illegal transactions and illegal things that are taking place there. I think that's the long and short of it, honourable members, of what is going on in Bozi and what has resulted in the executive imposed in Section 139(1)(b) in Mbodi municipality.
Thank you, Members. I think you've got the briefing. Let me apologize. I had to start in another meeting first before I came to the meeting. There's another community meeting that is sitting where I'm standing in for Member Mali, who is not around. They were supposed to correct you. Members, in terms of the briefing, you've heard what is happening in voting. We are aware that in Ugu and in Tugela there are discretionary interventions by the department there. I will therefore then open for members to engage in as far as the voting situation is concerned. If members have got questions of clarity, issues that members want to raise, now it's open, the floor is open if members want to raise any other issue. Open to you, members. Members don't have questions. If that is the situation, members, then we'll go to the next issue, which is Nyati local district municipality. I'll then hand over to the department. That is our second meeting. Yeah, whatever way that the department want to move forward.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Chair. We indicated, Chair, that Umzinyathi is not under 139. Umzinyathi and those other municipalities are not under 139. The only one that has got the 139, the new one is the Umbud.
Member Lou?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think the in terms of the first item of Umbud, you see, as the presentation through the input of the MEC clearly indicates to us, Chair, that the instability and the and if we follow what has been said and presented, it indicates a serious crisis at the government level. And I think that's where the criticality of the whole situation is, Chair. And I do think that we need to endorse the interventions, because principally, Chair, the PEC, the Provincial Executive Council, has looked at it, that they need to have a hand in terms of the legal functioning of the municipality. And therefore, Chair, I think besides coming from that province, it is important that as a committee we endorse the decisions of the Provincial Executive Council that the MEC is communicating to the committee today, Chair. That's so I propose.
Chair, thank you. Before I second the proposal of Honourable Zimande, Chair, I just need one clarity question. I've listened to what the MEC is saying here to us. So, who is the salaries of those guys who are in the executive now, and others who are not in the executive, who claim to be executive council? How does the salary work now? Who's getting what? Because I think the people of this municipality are suffering now, while certain individuals are benefiting. And I think the intervention is good, but I think we also need to clear some of those salary issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. We have proposed that all councillors be paid ordinary councillor salary until this matter is resolved. But that is why we need to intervene, because we don't know what's happening right now. We have made that advice. Whether that advice has been carried, we'll only see once we are in there. To check transactions to make sure that everything is done according to what we have recommended. But our recommendation to the MM was they say nobody should be paid the ex-co allowance. Everybody. That's the challenge, Chair, that makes us, that we have to intervene, because we don't want to end up in the same situation. We have the same situation in Barazani, where an illegal election took place, and the mayor and the ex-co, they came in for a year or for 8 months or so. And only when we intervened, we discovered that there were wrong things. There were people that were employed without following procedures, there were contracts and everything, and we had to reverse all those things. And we had to ask whoever was owing the municipality money to pay it back. And we have to terminate the employment of people that are employed without following procedures, and the whole thing even now it's a mess. We've always impressed upon the courts that it really does not help us as a government that the court takes long time to take those decisions, because none of us can move either way, because the matter is now in court and we don't have a return date at the moment, so we are in the stalemate until such time that we have the court declaratory.
Chair, on that basis, I second Honourable Mzimande's proposal. And at the same breath, Chair, when this meeting is closed, I would like the committee to stay behind. We need to discuss some issues here, Chair. Thank you. Chair, I will talk to you outside. Thank you. Chair, yeah, I don't have a problem with the proposal. But Chair, the point I wanted to raise was, you know, what happened to Ubu, what happened to some of these municipalities that are under this intervention, discretionary intervention. We had what the situations was anyway. And I thought in this meeting, precisely because of recommendations we have made that were adopted by this House and how we will move forward, you know, the department, the province will brief us as to what is the situation now and what is happening, you know, so that we are kept abreast, you know. We understand what is happening and we know the issues. Because some of the municipalities, the situation was like the explanation we're getting from Mvoti, you know. Yeah. So that we are aware as to, in terms of what that particular intervention, where is the situation, how are things happening. We're just told that there's this intervention by the province and nothing happened. And you know, I thought, you know, the MEC would take us into confidence and deal with that particular situation so that we understand and know exactly since we left those. And I'm just saying Ugu municipality is an example, you know, because we have been there, we understand, we know what happened then, you know. In terms of this intervention now, what is the situation and why? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Martina, I will exonerate the MEC from responding to that. Precisely because this is a specific issue meeting. It's not the internal report of KZN, it's about we're supposed to be going there, remember? But because of the Office of the Chair interacting with the MEC, we said let's call the MEC to be briefed on this specific issue. That one will come when we call the MEC for general report of what's happening. In this case, policy, something like that. In that case, we'll get that report. But today, I think the MEC is prepared for specific data of the intervention in KZN, in particular those three that we're confused.
Thank you, Chair. I don't have a problem. You see, but Chair, you see, just before we went on recess, the information received by us as members here was KZN has about 5 1-9 interventions. And unfortunately, it's now been clear that they are not 1-9. Fortunate enough, they are not 1-9. And it was because of this that I'm asking this particular question, because we wanted to know, and Ugu was one of the municipalities mentioned in that committee meeting. But I agree, Chair. I don't have a problem.
I'll tell you, I didn't understand the question, because I think then I have to be briefed just a glimpse, because it's like there was not a misunderstanding of this from the chief office, from the federal plan, and then from us, as we said, let's call this meeting. Just to get what was happening, is it five?
No.
Five, what? Five municipalities that were supposed to be 1-9 and then changed or whatever. I don't know whether they've changed or whatever. Just to get that in, so that we also have a statement as a committee to the House in support of what is happening in KZN. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. As I indicated, Chair, we don't have interventions in Ugu. We don't have interventions in Otsugeno and Umzinyat. The matters of Ugu is that Ugu has had problems with regard to their cash flows and just financial problems that needed us as the province to deploy technical support to assist them with correcting and doing their things in order. The problems really emanate from, in the main, that the municipality would have, particularly around electricity and water. I think this problem is not unique to Ugu. Almost all municipalities in the country have the same problem, that you spend more money probably buying water, but the money that you get back is less. Therefore, you know, it leaves you in a very bad situation that you budget for so much and then you don't have that money, then that puts you off balance in terms of how you are supposed to deal with. You know, at that stage as well, municipality, as I say, they were having cash flow in that there were debtors that they could not be able to pay, they could not, you know, fulfill all their financial obligations in terms of paying. They were operating on a deficit, but we sent a team, and since the team has been sent, the municipality has stabilized and everything is okay. That's why we didn't see the need to put them under administration. The situation did not start now. In fact, from the previous council before 2011, they always had the same problems in that issues of organogram, issues of financial management were always a challenge. In fact, the National Treasury in 2011, after elections, they did send the consultants that were helping the municipality. And when those consultants left, because the municipality was still in transition, they were not able to cope on their own. So therefore, the reason for us to give hands-on support to those municipalities. And it's the same with Otsugeno. You remember Otsugeno, we spoke about here, and as well as Umzinyathi. They are all the same. They have financial problems that are not coming from today, that are from what was inherited before 2011. But the municipalities will find that it takes a long time. If there is no assistance from us as the government in support of what the municipality is trying to do, whether it's cleaning their debtors' book, whether it's looking at their organograms and reviewing organograms, making sure that their budgets are realistic and reliable budgeting, making sure that their IDPs do talk to the budgets rather than just the shopping list. So that's what we normally do with them. We assist them basically with reviewing their organograms, with review their finances, we review their budgets to assist them to come to a realistic costing and balancing. All of them, in fact, we're working with the Treasury Department in the province, where we've dispatched the government aspects to go and assist them with issues, as I say, such as making sure that the legal compliance, human resource or organizational development, their revenue management, the expenditure and the budgeting performance, as well as the looking at the liquidity of the municipality, their supply chain and management policies and their controls. So that's what we are doing in those municipalities.
Thank you. Satisfied?
No, Chair, I'm satisfied. I'll wait for the next meeting for the next big question.
Okay.
see again before the end of the year. We'll meet the department again, isn't it, Jack?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we'll meet them again.
But I don't know, maybe just to sum up, so that we have both understanding between us and the LBC. There was a bit of a confusion, maybe, to also have a context when the trail you read came to our committee, it was as if it was one bill. But now we have to grapple with whether it's one bill or one, getting advice from the secretary. And my finding was that it was a broad application of one, trade-by-gap-one, without A or B or C. I think that is where it came to confuse the parliament. We could not know, but we preferred to come, because when the higher office says you go, we preferred to come until the third time came again, but you are talking. You are talking, hands with the door. Let's hold until we meet. So that we as a country must just be able to acknowledge the input that we make in terms of this one, put it in the right context, and then deal with the other one that is correctly placed under one. I think I just wanted us to have that conversation so that both of us, we are one. If you ever ask, we are able to talk the same language, the same understanding. I think that's what wanted to get clarity on in the way. But then it is as if we said you are Krishna, and we have no authority over any discussion as a committee or as parliament. It's a matter of provincial government. I think that should be the understanding. Even when you craft our presentation, we will do it in that context so that we are fine.
Yeah. Thank you. I think we must do the chair. I think the confusion is when the section 136, as you say, correctly, chair. But if you want to read it with 139 in terms of intergovernmental relations, that was the because remember constitutionally you have three spheres of government, and each one of them is independent yet interrelated, and we don't have any jurisdiction over the municipality. So whenever we have to bring in assistance or support, we have to do it in line with the intergovernmental relations that say we're doing it in terms of 136 of the MFMA, understanding that constitutionally we have an obligation to oversee and support municipalities. And I think that's where the confusion lies, as you correctly say, when people look at 139 in isolation to say this is actually 136 of the MFMA, not 139 of the Constitution. And I think when the presentation are put that way, it becomes clear.
No, thanks. I think the cloud is clear now of where we are. So when we go, then we go to only one municipality. and then pass others for the discrepancy and for people there.
Yeah.
Okay. In the light of this, I think I will tempted to attend the meeting until the next week. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with the attendance of the meeting. But my understanding is that in terms of the program, we will be doing we're going to some interventions next week. And I thought this might be our last meeting where we might be informed of the preparations and everything else, you see. Because over the phone, sometimes there's a lot of confusion, like what happened now when we went to KwaZulu-Natal. Yeah.
I think our management will deal with that one. But if there's any announcement, they can announce. But also to request the MEC to prepare our stakeholders, whoever deals with the stakeholders. I don't know whether the place is really like a Papa Zag. It's a crazy place. I'm not sure. What? Yeah? What? Oh, that too. Oh, that's it. No, just together. Oh, okay. Because, Papa Zag was sure he was. We couldn't know if we are running where we would run. But anything, thank you very much for arrive with the services. Thank you very much.